So actually, it's an interesting discussion why there are gerim. Like, there's a, I think it was the, there was a famous ger in Vilna. And I think later on, he's the one who asked the Vilna Gaon. There was a situation in Vilna, I'm assuming it was the same one, who that they accused the Jewish people of doing something, and they said, if you don't give that person who stole, we're going to kill the whole community. So the famous Ger Tzedek went to the Vilna Gaon and said, well, maybe, like, since I used to be Catholic, Christian, maybe they'll have more rachmanes if I go and say and tell him it was me, even though he knew it wasn't him. So he wanted to know if he was allowed to give himself up. I mean, they're going to kill him, probably. You know, he's allowed to risk his own life on something he didn't do. So the Vilna Gaon didn't answer. He said, I have to think about it. I said, obviously, the Vilna, he took that to mean that the Vilna Gaon didn't want to tell him yes. That, and so he went ahead and did it. He was killed. But they say over from the, and I think it was also the Ma'abid, others point out, we read actually this week, Parshas Mishpatim, the Jewish people said, Nase v'nishma. There's a famous medrash that says, God went to all the nations of the world and said, do you want the Torah? Different versions, so what's in it? Lo sirtzach, lo sina, etc. It's not for me. And when it came to the Jewish people, so they took it. You know, that's the famous, you know, that's the famous joke. Why was it on two tablets? Why not 10? Why not one? So the joke is because he went to the Jewish people and they said, how much is it? So God said, free. So they said, we'll take two. That's the joke part. The real answer is because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the two different categories of halacha. So the first five are ben adam u'makom, and the second one's ben adam chaveiro. So they said, so when the Jews said nase v'nishma, and the Goyim would say the Gentiles rejected it, does it mean every Jew on Har Sinai really meant it? They all meant it, nase v'nishma, and every Gentile didn't want it? So he says, of course not. Acharei Rabba Mahatos. Most of the Jewish people wanted it, and there was a minority of Gentiles who also wanted it. So he says, so that's what happens over the years is, on the unfortunate end, you have Jews leaving the faith and some joining other religions. And he says, that's why you have a major interest to different times in Jewish history. You have a lot of converts. In fact, Rav Gorin had an article on it. There was articles in the Israeli paper about a very interesting thing that happens, that after Nazi Germany, there are many Nazis who converted. And why is that based on? Because they want to speak. We just had the speaker Sunday night about someone, about, it was the, from Schindler's List, there was the Nazi guard who was evil and shooting at all the Jews. I don't know if you saw Schindler's List or not. Right, so either way, so it doesn't mean you don't have to see it for this purpose, and I'm not saying you should see it. I'll leave it to you. But it was the granddaughter, I guess, who was speaking. She happens to be black. She married a Jew. So the name of the book where she wrote is, if my grandfather would have killed me if he knew I was. So the point being is, so after the terrible Holocaust, so many Germans reading about it, like, oh, let's go back. What did the Jewish people do? They must be such an evil. And then they go back and study Judaism. Oh, wow, this is great. And you have a higher level of conversion rates. It also happened in Churban Bayit Sheni. They say after the Roman, many of the Roman soldiers who were involved, there was a higher rate of conversion back then. So there is this concept of whether, and, you know, so therefore, so what people say, why all these people converting, it's descendants of the Gentiles who really wanted it, but they were outvoted by their people, so therefore they never got in. So that's just, that's more al pi machshava. That's what the Dayan of Vilna, the Ger Tzedek in Vilna suggested. So there's an union of Geiris, so there are different parts to the Geiris. So for everyone, there's tefillah, immersion in the mikvah. And we'll see, Kabbalah Samitzis, we'll see how obvious that one is. But then, and for a man, there's Mila. And then the Gemara actually talks about bringing a karban. In fact, that's, we find also at the end of Mishpatim that the Jewish people brought a, because What was the full conversion? A lot of the details we learned is from Har Sinai regarding conversion, because ultimately that's where we had the milah for the Karban Pesach, and then we had the I guess there must have been some mikveh around Har Sinai exactly. I don't know where they did it, but somehow they went to a mikveh, and they were makabel the Nazir initially, but they were makabel the Torah mitzvahs. So what happens? So the Gemara learns out one of the prerequisites or one of the conditions is a ger brings a karban. So in fact, we assume that really is not likuva, that pashtus is that, even you're probably still Jewish even without a karban. But let's say based on Ladoro Sechem, so that's the shy list. If you do need, see the Avnei Nezer learns that it's likuva. If you don't bring a karban, you're not Jewish. So they asked the Rashba, so how do we have gerim today? We don't have karbanos. So therefore, that's what most assume we don't need. Karbanos is different. You only need it when you had a base of mikvah. In fact, that's the famous kasha they ask. We have a principle by gerim, a ger shen is gayer, kekatan shenola dami. When someone converts, there's no connection to the family. Biblically speaking, a brother and sister can marry a father and obviously midrabanan, we say no way. It's not, doesn't look right, you can't do it. But there's a total break. There's no connection. He's still your biological parent. You still have to do keep it of aim or whatever, that kind of stuff. But in terms, there's no relationship. So the shaila is, what about Har Sinai? It says the Jewish people were crying, bochen, that they couldn't, everything was permitted. Now they got married, they were limited to who they can marry now. So we see clearly from the pasuk, it seems that Gerish and Itzgaya didn't apply. Then we don't seem to apply this principle to by Ma'an Torah, that no one knew each other. It's clear, it seems from this, even though there is I think Rav Shechter likes saying over that Rabbi Breuer from Washington Heights, the Breuer Yeshiva, so I guess he was older than Rav Shechter, and he said this new sefer came out called the Meshech Chachma. It's not so new anymore, but he said Rav Shechter said it was out before I was born, but he never probably. And he says God should have Rachmanis on him. He wrote in the sefer that the principle does apply at Ma'an Torah. Gershon and Skyark. He said that's ridiculous. How could you say that? That means what happened with. So we have no yichus then. We're not. How could we say, okay, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? He's saying, how could you say such a thing? So the Meshech Chochma is a chiddush. I think the Maharal and the Gor Aryeh writes, no, we assume that it doesn't apply. The question is, why doesn't it apply? Why don't we say, Gersh and Iskayer, Kakat and Shanola, David by Har Sinai? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, he said there's a fundamental difference between, let's say, are the regular gerus where we do apply it to what he calls a national gerus, when the Jewish people as a whole converted all together at one time. Obviously, they went to the mikveh maybe physically different times, but we see they only brought one karban, because one karban represented the whole people. So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say, based on a tosis and kedushin, the Gemara talks about in kedushin that of a Kedushin Eino Tovstin. If a Jew marries a non-Jew, it's nothing. It's Eino Tovstin. You're not a Pihalacha. It's not binding. So Tosis points out, and it's not just related to Kedushin, anything. There's no kirva regarding Jews and non-Jews. So the way Rav Soloveitchik understands it, he's saying is that that doesn't make any sense. You can't say that, you were related at birth, and now you converted, and let's say, and your sister converts a week later. So like for a week, she was your sister, now you're not. In other words, he's saying, but by a national type of conversion, he's saying, either you're always your brother, your sister, you never were. You have to be from birth, either always or never. So therefore he says, they were all non-Jewish or whatever status they had before they converted, then they all at the same time became converted at the same time, so along those lines. So it's a big discussion about why we don't say it, but except for the Meshech Chachma, most assume we don't apply, we do assume we're connected to our avos from before. So either way, so we assume that udoro seichem means that we accept gerim for all generations, and therefore we knew that there wouldn't be a beis hamikdash the whole time, so it's okay. So we assume we don't have to worry about a karban. So there's mila, tefila, and kabbalah mitzvah. So in fact, there's an interesting shaila about 150, 200 years ago in Yerushalayim. The Rav, his name was Rav Asher Lemel. He happens to be the Rav of the shul. And the case was this convert, or would-be convert, came to him. What happened was, he generally speaking, it's a machlokas rishonim, the order for a meal. Mila is the order ma'akevana. Do I have to do mila, tzvila? So we paskin to tamachokas rishonim. So we paskin, you first need the mila and then the tzvila. In fact, Rav Fulda says over a story, he's the rabbi in YU, whatever. Someone came to him, and so he needed three conversions because the first time, I guess he converted, it was like, you know, I guess it was non-halachic wakala, whatever, I don't know, whatever happened. It wasn't acceptable geiris. And then he said he went to a chassidish place. I'll leave the sect out. And how did it work? He said, we went to the mikveh first, and then we did the mila afterwards. He said, that's a no-go. He said, look, you're coming with me, we're doing a third conversion because you got to do me. We pass and you need mila first and then tefila. So you need both. Mol below tavo, if you do mila without tefila, you're not Jewish yet. For a man, for a woman, you know, it works, all you need is tefila. That's why some want to say maybe if you tavo and not mol, maybe you could argue this like tefila works for a woman. Maybe there's more to discuss on that side. But mol below tavo, that's clear. So an interesting case happened. They did the mila first. So practically speaking, it's better to do the tefila than the mila because what happens is they did the mila. Let's say there was an infection, whatever. He couldn't go into the water right away. He had to wait like a week until it healed so he could go to the mikvah. So the shayla came Shabbos. This is a guy who already looked the part. He looked probably like a, you know, one of those Yerushalmis. He had the payas, he had the beard. So I'll tell you a different story with the Satmar Rebbe later about that. But so there was an undercover cop who used to go with the Satmar Rebbe. So either way, the question was, he came to shul and he was keeping Shabbos, and all the people were going crazy. Well, what are you doing? Like you're not Jewish. You can't keep Shabbos. A guy's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So they went to Rav Asher Lemel. He said, yeah, mol v'lo tavo. You did mila. You're not Jewish. So go in the back room and. According to the way some write, it was getting late. It was after Mincha. It doesn't say if it was an early Mincha. And so he said to go write a couple of letters down. Or some say he made a fire. In fact, there's another incident, a different gear in Brooklyn. Again, someone who, like, you couldn't, he looked more Jewish than me. Probably he was Jewish. You know, he had a beard, everything. He was coming for a while. And so someone, so he was, so... When he went to, he spoke to a Rav and said, so what should I do when not to keep Shabbos? He told him you should like light a match. I won't get into electricity, that's a separate issue, but light a match. So he said, light a match? Well, what are you talking about? I was in the Mishnah Berurah, maybe it was Aruch HaShulchan, he was in the Hilchos Shabbos class, and I learned, what do you mean? That Melacha She'enin Tzricha L'Gufa, that's putter. It's minator, it's butter. It's only in Issa Drabanan. So if I'm just making a match just for the sake of making, it's not for my benefit. So what do you mean? So I'm not really being Machal Shabbos. So he shrugged up the Rav. He said, good Kasha. But I know you're wrong because Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to tell the Goyim to do that. So he went to Rav Palm and he asked, so Rav Palm obviously knew the Shaila. So he said, yeah, but the Rambam Paskins, a malacha shein etzvika gufa is chayev, so a gentile could rely on the Rambam, and it's an issue deraisa for him. But either way, so the point was, so you have a lot of, so he came back, the Rav Asher Lemel said he went ahead and was machal Shabbos. So what happened was a big tumult broke out. The base in Yerushalayim heard about it, And they were going crazy. They went to him, were you Machal or Shabbos? He said, yeah. He said, you're not allowed to. You have to keep Shabbos. Welcome to Judaism, I tell him. One person says he has to Machal or Shabbos. One person says he has to keep Shabbos. So it shows the greatness of, this is in Yerushalayim. So imagine, it was, he says, on one hand you're right, the Mishnah says, Mo v'lo tavo, ki lo mo, it's like you did nothing, and therefore he's a guy. On the other hand, there is a tradition, there's a Masorah, that once a guy does Mila without tefillah, you should keep Shabbos. Well, where does that come from? He says, because it comes out from the original Matan Torah, that we know the Jewish people, for the Karban Pesach, they did Mila. Maybe Shevet Levi had it before. They did the Mila before Karban Pesach. And we know in the Aseret HaDibros, Shabbos wasn't given until the Aseret HaDibros, but we have a tradition. Chazal tell us, when was Shabbos first given? The Jews kept Shabbos in Mara before they got to Har Sinai. So he says, so what do we see? They were Malvalo, they didn't do the mikvah until Har Sinai. So they were in a state where they did the Mila and they kept Shabbos. So we have a tradition that, so therefore, really the minhag is a guy should not bechal Shabbos. So I guess it's kind of like he loses, he's like a quasi Jew. He loses the status of a Gentile, but he's not a full fledged Jew until he goes to the mikvah, kind of like, you know, like the status of discussion, the status of the Avos or a Ben Noach, you know, in terms of, as the Rambam writes, for each mitzvah they kept, you give a higher level of Kedusha. But until we received the Torah, you didn't have the full Kedusha to Israel. So that was the Shiloh there. In fact, that's what they asked. How did Yisrael, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, based on a pasuk in Yisrael, Vayichad is Yisrael, something along those lines, the Gemara learns out, Vayichad one pshat, the Gemara learns out, Shemoles Atzmo, he converted himself, he did a milah on himself. So there's a bunch of questions. Number one is, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, a non-Jew can't be a moel, meaning, it has, you know, the Gemara over there, a woman can be, a non-Jew can't be, so therefore how could he, so they give a whole lumdis that it's Ba'am Ke'echad, at the moment he did the bris, that's when he became a Jew, so he was kind of a Jew. But then they ask another Shaila, but Mo'al V'lo Tavo, he did the Mila, he didn't do the Tefillah yet. So that's what they point out. No, so regarding the Jewish part, he's enough of a Jew that for Mila, as we see, because we see even without the Tefillah, one is permitted to keep Shabbat. So either way, so that's the Mila, the Tefillah, and the Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So they discuss, the question is, what happens if someone marries for ulterior motives? Let's say, you're not, so generally we assume, you know, you convert because you want to become Jewish, etc., not for outside reasons. Like, today it's very, it's a big issue because people, let's say, want to become Jewish either for the land or return. You know, that you could just get back to Israel. In fact, there were cases that happened, I don't know if it's still going on, but the Maccabees or whatever, I don't know, what do they call, what's the basketball team they call in Israel? Maccabees. Maccabees. So what happened was, is I think there's a rule, or they used to be, maybe they changed it, you only have like two chutz, you only can have two people from chutz laretz, or non-Israelis on the team, in order, or non-Jews maybe, I'm not sure. So what happened was, when someone like couldn't get into the NBA, the Israel's looking for the team, so therefore they found some rav in the Midwest who specialized in 6'10 people who are very good at basketball. He worked out the Gators, whatever that meant exactly, and he sent them to Israel the next day. So in order to play on the team, and people do it for marriage and many reasons. So what is the status? Someone converts to Judaism, but for different, not for the appropriate reasons. So actually, so that's a major discussion in the Gemara in Yevamos. Rav Dechemi and others, whether the one opinion is it's no good if you convert for the inappropriate reason, so it's not a good conversion, and the other opinion says it is good. So what's the issue? Because it seems to come back to the kutim. So there seems to be, Tosis points out, there seems to be an apparent contradiction here, because the kutim, if you look in Malachim, where the story, what happened was, they called in the Gemara, the Gemara calls someone who converts for ulterior motives, Geiri Arayas. What does it mean? Geiri converts, Arayas. Not Arayas like a list of relate, Arayas lions. So the story goes that the Kutim, they came to Israel and they were attacked by lions. Very funny. It's an African safari here, but there are no lions in Israel. So what do you mean? What do you mean lions? It might have been the Nebuchadnezzar was around during that time. He's the one who was Bilbo Kol Olam. That's how he moved people around so that everyone would be a refugee and he'd be able to control the world. So they came to him and said, lions? There's no lions. So he sent the rabbi, who sent people over, and they said it must be the God of Israel is very upset at you. So they said, we better convert. But they converted without, they converted, but they kept their Avodah Zarah. So it says, the Pesukim say, they worshipped Avodah Zarah. So it says, they satisfied the lions. The lions didn't come back anymore after they converted, but they didn't satisfy God. God wasn't happy. So that's one kutim, that's one Geira Arayas. So we see it's not good at all. On the other hand, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, kutim, like the kutim were accepted. Like there's a whole discussion of a kuti does kedushin, there's a whole discussion in halachic literature. So how do we reconcile? Sometimes when we refer to Geira Arayas, we assume it's good, like for ulterior motives, and other times we don't. So the fundamental difference is, Tosis, the Rishonim, right, is, no, the difference is as follows. So everyone agrees that you shouldn't convert for ulterior motives, for some whatever they are. And then maybe l'chadchila we say, eimekabom es agerim. So then, you know, maybe the Beis Din has the right to tell you we're not taking you. That's the before. But what happens if that person converted already? I mean, maybe Beis Din could have, it's up to the Beis Din to make that decision. Beis Din converted them. So someone who's worshipping idol as they're going into the mikvah, that's a whole major discussion with Bas Paro and Shlomo HaMelech. There's a whole discussion with Rambam, has different comments, whether she had the Avodah Zarah in her suitcase, so it gets into, is it a good conversion at all? So let's assume Pashtus, if you're converting with the Avodah Zarah, then it's not good. So that's what the Kutim in the Sefer Melachim are ones that they didn't accept anything. They just converted, but they didn't keep any halachas. But let's say someone converted because of the lions, or converted because they wanted to find a spouse or whatever other reason. They fell in love. I'll do anything for you. Okay, will you keep Shabbos? Will you keep anything you want? And he does, or she does. So what about that? So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. So we paskin in that case, it's good. Even if it wasn't ulterior, let's say you had the wrong motives. So maybe based in, maybe they shouldn't have converted you or not. That's a separate discussion. But post facto, if this person is keeping the Torah and mitzvah, so he's Jewish, or she's Jewish. So that's the distinction they make. So we assume ulterior motives is good, as long as, in other words, the issue is, that's what, you know, a lot of people don't know that, because the bottom line is, if you're makabel the mitzvahs or not. If you're makabel the mitzvahs, then it's good, you know, according to everyone. You could argue maybe the Beis Din should have not. You could argue maybe Beis Din should not have accepted them. Okay, we could discuss if they should have, but that's irrelevant at this point. If a person's converted and they're keeping all the mitzvahs, so then Ukuliyama, the person's Jewish. The point of contention is how much, like, so everyone, so again, so let's say a person converted, kept the mitzvahs, and 10 years later, decided, okay, I'm out of here, I had enough of this. So then Pashas, we assume he's Jewish. He has, you know, we don't, the fact he left, he's, you know, he still has to do tshuva, and now we don't assume he's back. Now he loses his status as a Jew, and now as a Gentile. The shaila is, let's say he goes straight from the conversion to McDonald's, or he went, you know, or it's clear right away, you know, or maybe a week, a month. There is a minority view that would say that perhaps if at Bishas Kabbalah Mitzvahs he actually met, but there are the ones who argue you don't need Kabbalah Mitzvahs, they'll argue you need Kabbalah Mitzvahs, but what is Kabbalah Mitzvahs? They'll argue when he was in the mikvah, and if the person was out, the person meant it. I meant I want to keep everything, but what could happen? I'm on my way home, I have a big bal taiva, I'm a mummer with teyavon. I saw a nice cheeseburger or whatever, and I couldn't. So that's what they, and others say, like, obviously, the stof mochiach, if on his way home for the conversion, he's eating treif, that shows he never really was serious about the conversion. You know, so then you get into how further you have to go or not. But that's a major discussion that comes up all the time in terms of conversions for, you know, me, Yehudi, who's a Jew, and that has to do with a lot of the issues in Israel in terms of, in Israel, it's a separate issue besides everything else, because let's say someone who's converted, let's say according to everyone, halakhically fine, the person shomer Torah mitzvahs, but in Israel they wouldn't necessarily accept them. In other words, because they only accept certain like geira, so it wouldn't be any less of a Jew. In fact, I was you know, as I said, the law of the land is like even if your grandparents Jewish, you have the right of return. You can move. So what happened was when the Ethiopians, the big issue with the Ethiopians was it's a shaila. In fact, is that where they claim those people who are with that school in Washington by the kids from Kentucky? This guy came over and started playing music, and these
Hebrew.
Do they claim that the original?
Are they from where?
From Eldon Hadar? Where do they claim they're from? Or either way. But then from our point,
they don't like Jews.
No, obviously they don't. Yeah, but the way they were, the way they were talking. Yeah. So they point. The what?
I might have met some of them.
Yeah, in New York, they hang around the.
No, I bet.
You said, what are they called?
I don't know who they were, but it was a fascinating experience. They were like, it was Friday night, and they were doing like Shalom Aleichem, like a gospel choir.
What password do you want to put in?
One that will remember.
Yeah. So Sullivan.
Sullivan 1962?
Sure. Let's do that.
Very fitting. I'm not going to tell them my birthday. I guess my Hebrew birthday was yesterday. I came out back to back this year. I had a 48-hour window between my Hebrew and English. And I realized I'm really gonna go with the third birthday, I realized, because that was the practice. I think the Ben Ishkai in Baghdad, they used to celebrate their birthday on the Yom HaMiwa. So I have to go back the year I was born and check. In terms of, right now it comes out to Rosh Chodesh Adar, so now I have a third birthday, I get the trifecta. So there's a whole discussion with the Ethiopians, you know, are they the original from the lost tribes, are they the original, did they come from Eldad Adani, you know, which is a Sheva Danza, that was a whole big debate. So that's why, in terms of the Ethiopians, so many poskim said, you know, at best as Suffolk, and therefore they should go to the mikvah, because as I mentioned before, because you want to avoid mamzeris issues, so therefore, but what happened was, it's all about timing, being in the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time. Avaji Yosef, he happened to be chief rabbi at the time, so they came to him, and his shita was, the Ethiopians were Jews. So therefore he, that became part of a big issue, because he felt they were Jewish, And they asked him, and he was the chief Sephardi chief. The after that became, because many other like poskim were against it. That was a big issue. In fact, there was an issue also in terms of kashrus. What's the biggest winery in Israel? What are they called?
Was it the Barkin? It was the Barkin controversy.
The Barkin? Is
it? I think it was Barkin.
What's another name? It could have been Khan, Barkin, I don't know.
I think it was Barkin.
Whatever it is. So there was a Shiloh.
Yeah, it was the Barkin wine controversy.
There was a Shiloh, I don't know, a couple of months ago, whatever it was. A year.
Last year.
Yeah, in last year.
July 13th.
It was 13?
It was in July.
It was in July. Yeah. It was the same issue. What happened was, because in a winery, they have a kosher winery in Niagara. They go during Pesach to have a trip there during Pesach. So what happened was, I guess they were coming down for Hashkacha, and they saw, there's some special halachas about wine that, the ingredients are kosher, but some other chumras about a non-Jew not being in the process. So again, at what point can they be, once it's cooked, pasteurized, whatever, but apparently, so they had some Ethiopian workers. So according to Abaji Yosef, they might have been Jewish. But according to Rov HaPoskim, at least a suffix, so there was a whole big issue in terms of they were doing the parts before it became, while it was Yayin Jain and Mavusho. So I think that what happened was they had to move them to a different part of the process where it was post-facto. That after the wine became of mushrooms, and then they let them be in the process. But that was all part of that issue during that time period. And in fact, another shah I just got recently was about a ger katan. So we know this halacha, a ger katan adbil and adad space. And the halacha is that you convert the child when they're younger, and either it's the basin representing the Jewish people, the basin representing the Shechina, whatever, we accept them in. And then, again, to Rebbe Yashav, that's an interesting shita, which very few people paskin like, is he says, before the girl turns 12, or the boy, you have to call them up, and they have to actually make a formal Kabbalah's mitzvah. We assume it's obvious. If the person continues davening, keeping they're not kosher, obviously they were makabel mitzvahs, and if they reject it, they reject it. That's what we assume. So, but the shaila is, what do we do in general, in terms of brachas? What do we do in general? We make brachas over lasi asan. We make brachas first, and then we do the mitzvah. However, there's an exception to the rule. The Gemara says in Pesachim and Dav Zayin, on the mitzvah of tefillah, there's no choice because you have to make the bracha after the mikvah because the person's not Jewish before. So in fact, that's a further discussion. What about a tefillah for a woman when a woman goes to the mikvah? So some say we should keep all the tefillahs the same. And now they say, a woman can make it before. I think the minig is, which, is the woman dunks in the mikvah. She comes out, she doesn't come out, but she comes up. I think she makes the bracha then, and then she does another dunk. So it's not really over lasi asan, but people try to figure it out, but that seems to be the minig. So either way, so it's clear by a non-Jew, you have to make the bracha achli lasi asan. The shaila is, what about a ger katan? The basin's making the bracha. We'll see who's making the bracha. So the shita's haravid. The ravid shita is that the basin makes the bracha, and he says, but they make the bracha over lasiyas. In other words, they go with the general rule. In other words, the rule of thumb is you make the bracha first, and then you do the mitzvah. Tfilah's gear is an exception. Okay, so tfilah's gear. But ger katan, there's no need to rely on. It's not efshar. It's not, and therefore, to the ravid's basin, the basin would make the bracha before the ger katan went in. Rav Soloveitchik to say over, he didn't usually get involved in gerus, but apparently he had a Talmud who couldn't have any kids, and he just adopted a kid, so he wanted to, he asked him if he could be part of the basin, so he said, okay, I'll come. So as he was, he never did this, like he wasn't involved in Geirus, he wasn't thinking, so as he was doing, when they were doing the Geirus, he's thinking, wait a second, oh yeah, Geir Katan, when should I make the bracha? He's thinking aloud, like the book, thinking aloud. Should I make the bracha before? So he thought that you make it after. He said, he thought maybe kach teknu, that once, it's true for a gear, a regular gear, it's yesher, you have no choice. But once Chazal made this bracha on gerus, so they have a kach teknu, so too, all every time you do a conversion, no matter, even if in theory you can make the bracha before, he thought you should make it after. So we have the Raivid who says you do it before. You have the Rav Soloveitchik who said you do it after. And who do we pass them like? None of them. The meaning is maybe you might find a rabbi who might, but the meaning Yisrael is we don't make a bracha. Why not? Why don't we make, for a ger katan, we don't make a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha? So I think in the Svarim they bring down because what's the halacha? The halacha is kishe yigdo yochol limchos. We know the halacha is we don't believe in forced conversions. You'll ask me my Mahar Sinai, that's a separate discussion. Holding about Har Kegigas. But we don't go for forced conversions. So therefore, the person has we all agree, at 12 or 13, the person has the ability to reject it. And like my friend, and then that's it, they're not Jewish anymore. So we have a general, so we have a klal in brachas, that in fact is a famous Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba discusses by tzedakah. They say, everyone agrees it's a mitzvah in our Torah to give tzedakah. You want to say something? Right, that's
I've had a whole discussion about that.
That's the Tosfos and the Gemara. But here, mitzvah tzedakah, it's a mitzvah in our Torah, so why don't we make a bracha? We make brachas on mitzvahs d'rabbanan, on lulav, on Chanukah. We even make brachas on minhagim, katzi halel, on Rosh Chodesh. So why don't we make a bracha on tzedakah? To the many answers, but there's a famous answer from the Tshuvas HaRashba, who says what? He says, because, you know why? Because the Ani might not accept it. Like, what do you mean? Either for many reasons, either like he's too proud, he just wants to say he's collecting money, or like you give him $5, are you kidding me? I want $100 or whatever, he'll throw it back at you. Whatever the reason is, so any mitzvah, the Rashba writes, it's totally bedas acherem. If it's not biyado for me to fulfill the mitzvah on my own, so therefore I can't make a bracha on the mitzvah. So therefore the Rashba says there's no bracha on tzedakah. In fact, there's a kasha, or we have a machlokas by Birkas Erisin. That by Birkas Erisin is a major machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush. What type of bracha is it? What type of mitzvah? So, because it doesn't have the classical mitzvahs kedushin, lakadosh yisaisha, asher asa lano saruso zitalad. It's a strange text of the bracha. So they point out is because the Rush holds there is no mitzvah of kedushin, the mitzvah is pru revu, the mitzvah is having kids, and in order to have kids you have to get married. And the Rambam disagrees and says, he might agree with that point, but he says kedushin is a mitzvah. He says Kedushin itself is a mitzvah. So therefore it's a machlok, a fundamental machlok is the Rambam and the Rush, whether Kedushin itself is a mitzvah. So by nafkamina is when you make the bracha. So the Rambam says, this I can make a bracha over the asiyas in my all mitzvahs. Kedushin's no different. First you make the bracha, and then you do the harayah mekudeshesli. And the Rush disagrees and says it's a birka shevach vahodah. It's a brach on the institution of marriage, so therefore you can make it afterwards. So that's fine. They're both consistent. The problem is the Raivid. The Raivid says, he goes half and half. He agrees with the Rambam that it's a birkas ha-mitzvah, But then he says you should make the bracha afterwards. So the question is, like, it doesn't make any sense. Either if he holds like the Rambam, so you should do it over Lasiyasan. And if he holds, if it's a Birkas Shavah, so why, what's the pshat in the Ravid? How could you say it's a Birkas HaMitzvah and still say you make the bracha afterwards? What's the pshat in the Ravid?
Status that doesn't exist yet.
Right, so giving us, so therefore, he's saying that's why you don't make, that's why, but we do make, I mean, that's why he's saying, so you have to wait to after it, you have to make it on, but if you, right, here, but here we're saying the mitzvah's on, that's what the rush is, you know, that's the rush, the rabbi is saying it is the mitzvah. Hariya Mekudeshus, we is the mitzvah asev. I'm bringing it up because it's like the Rashba.
You say you do the bracha of Kiddushin. Right, are you receive, okay, the bracha.
Eretz and Kiddushin are the same.
You do the bracha of Kiddushin after Hariya Mekudeshus.
Right.
Right? But only works if it's a bracha Shabbat.
Because right.
If it's a bracha mitzvah,
you should make it before.
It's supposed to introduce the idea. But this is just acknowledging the fact that it already exists.
Right, so that's the kind, yeah, just, right, so you will have...
What's the svara for being a birkat mitzvah in the first place?
What's the what?
What's the svara for being a birkat mitzvah in the first place?
No, it's not a matter of... No, it's a matter... It's a matter of svara. The Rambam says explicitly...
I understand that it might be a mitzvah to be Mekadesh, but if you look at the wording of the bracha, it's not all mitzvah, it's... Describing something.
No, right, that's not right.
That exists until
after. No, right, no, like, no, that's right, 100%. That's why the rush fits in, the, according to Ram, why not to say, well, Kaddish is the Isha? Right, I'm saying, about this, you couldn't, that's a possible shot in the right, but I'm just saying is, that's part of the Kudus HaMachokes. Maybe that's what the rush, you know, the rush saw, like the text that I mean, you know, why not? The fact it doesn't say well, Kaddish is Isha or you know or Al Mitzvah is Kedushin tells me it's not a mitzvah. You know, so but you're saying you could take a mahalo like you're saying that's so what they explain the Ravid himself tells us, so we don't have to speculate. He says, you know why? Because the woman might say no. We know it's consensual, you have to get married with Da, so therefore you can't, if I make the bracha before, okay, sorry, I changed my mind, I don't want to marry you anymore. So therefore, it'll be a bracha levatola. So the Ravid says you wait until after the Kedushin. So that's, it's similar to the Rashba by Tzedakah. The reason why you can't make the bracha, because the Ani might say no, the Ravid says the woman might say no. Well, of course, you have to answer. So the kashayel is, so why not, according to the Rashba, why not make the bracha after the Ani takes it, like the Ravid saying? The Ravid saying, you can make the bracha, you know, after, the Ravid says you can make the, so why not say after the Ani takes the money, make a bracha? So we'll see. It could be the Rashba saying fundamentally, any bracha that's totally with you don't make a bracha. There are other reasons given also in terms of that. But either way, so that's what they point out here with the Ravid. So it's the same. So that's what the poskim right here. The reason why we don't accept. The reason why is eye identification, that's what he's putting in front of my face. You wondering. So that's what they explain. So that's why we assume a ger katan, there's no bracha. Because we assume since fundamentally it's yichol and limchos, the katan could say no. So anytime the mitzvah is not dependent, the mitzvah is not dependent on the beis din, I only can do so much. But the child says no, like we find by tzedakah, it's totally on someone else. And as well as by Birkas Eretz, since that's what you showed. So to summarize, so we discussed the different reason why we have Gerim, the famous pshat from the Vilna, the Ger in Vilna, that not everyone, not all the Jews meant it.
Yes.
Oh, Myra?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a minion? Okay.
I'll take this with me.
Exactly, yeah. You can shut off the recording.
Right. Oh, 6, 2, 5, 6, 3. Got it. Shut off the recording. There we go.
You got it?